Awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, my name's Clayton, and I'm the lead pastor here at Central. I'm so glad you guys are with us. Hey, if you're a guest with us, thank you for being here. I know this is also our live streaming service, so thank you for everyone that's online today. This is service 3 out of 4, and so I'm jacked up on coffee and a little bit of candy this morning, and maybe you had a chance to get some candy. In fact, at the end of today's service, when you leave, there's going to be some buckets. I want you to grab some of that candy, because, you know, when you think about Easter, sometimes you got to think about candy a little bit. And that's why we did the little survey just a minute ago. And if you didn't get a chance to do the survey, I want to ask you, pull out your phone right now and go and type in Easter candy to 94,000, and then you can vote, because right up here on the screen is the live voting. And I want to see, this is all the services combined. And so, you got peeps. There's only 6 people all morning who said yes to peeps. Anybody else? A peeper? I don't know, I just made that up. Okay, 1. Okay, all right, you can vote there. But guys, chocolate bunnies is it. I'm just telling you, there's no other candy where you can just bite the head off of it, you know? None of those other things qualify for that. But obviously, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is getting the most. But hey, you can actually do it right now. It's going to add yours to it live. But it's, you know, it's fun to kind of think about candy, kind of think about Easter and getting those eggs. I want to take you back a little bit, okay? So all the kids in this room, you guys know what it's like to go and get those Easter eggs. But for all of you adults, you remember what it was like? Man, that was awesome time, wasn't it? In fact, I want to show you a picture here right on the screen of me when I was little, on one of the Easters. I don't know how old I was, but man, I was looking good, guys. Look at that jacket. Look at that tie. I had hair. I mean, woo, man, killing it up there. But I love those moments. I still remember those moments. If you're a parent in this room, you know what it's like to have your kid go and be a part of that. And they're running around with other kids. And sometimes it can get a little violent, right? I mean, because you want your kid to make sure they have some eggs. The worst thing that can happen is that all the eggs get taken up and your kid comes back empty. And so some parents, they go a little crazy. They'll push another kid out of the way. They don't care. They'll grab some eggs because they want to make sure that your kid has some eggs. Because when you walk away from an Easter egg hunt and you've got eggs in your basket, what you're kind of saying is, look, I've been there. I was there. I got to participate in that. I don't know what you believe about Jesus, but today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a story that had multiple eyewitnesses, some people who said, look, I was there. This isn't a made-up story. It's not a fairy tale. It was an actual thing that happened. These eyewitnesses, they wrote it down. They began to spread the message while they were still alive, began to spread the message, the thing that we call the Gospels today. They began to tell the story of what happened, specifically with Jesus. Now, this is more than a story. It's real and it's raw, and it happened to real people, and they got to experience it, and I hope that today it will speak to you, because today is Easter. Easter is the best Sunday of the year for Christians, because we celebrate a risen Savior, someone who isn't still in the grave but rose from the grave. That's what Easter is all about. It's all about that kind of hope. But 3 days before that, Jesus, he died on the cross. It was an awful day. Jesus was beaten, he was tortured, and he was crucified on a cross. It was a horrific experience. It was a bad, bad day. But as Christians, we actually look at Friday when it happened as Good Friday. And the reason is because of what happened on Sunday morning. Jesus rose from the grave, and so churches all across the world right now are celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive. He's alive. So what happened right after Jesus rose from the grave? That's our story for today. And so I'm going to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's one of the Gospels, eyewitness testimony of what happened. Go to the very end of Luke, Luke 24. It's the last page of Luke in my Bible. And I want to read to you what happened to these disciples. They uh, had had some of that experience that Jesus rose from the grave. They got to witness that. They were freaking out. They were scared. They run. They go and hide because the Romans and the Jewish leaders were actually after them as well. And so they're behind locked doors. And then this happens. Starting verse 36. It says, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Can you imagine that? And he said, peace be with you. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. And so Jesus asked something. He says, why are you frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubt? And I wanted to pause there for just a minute, because there is hope for us this morning that even the disciples who were right there next to Jesus, they still doubted. Let me just say this morning. Doubting is normal. It's all right. It's okay to doubt. In fact, God's not scared of your doubt. We doubt a lot of things, especially in today's day and age. You know, if we can't see it, man, then I don't want to believe it. We do this all the time. And someone telling you a story, you're going, I'm not sure if that is actually true or accurate because I wasn't there. And so we look at something that is 2,000 years old and say, obviously I wasn't there, so how can I trust it? God's okay with your doubt. He's all right. You know, Christians sometimes are the worst. We're hypocrites all the time. We're not perfect. We have sin just like every single other person on this planet. And sometimes we say one thing, but then we do the other thing. And it causes people to doubt Jesus. Look, doubting is okay. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, I get that you're doubting. Let me address your doubts. Let me help you for just a minute. And maybe this morning, that's what Jesus needs to do for you, is to address some doubts that you have. Look what happens in verse 39. Jesus says this. He says, look at my hands and look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do. And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. What Jesus did in this moment is he said, look at me. In fact, look at what I have done. And don't just look, actually go and physically experience it. I want you to touch my hands and my feet. Because on Jesus' hands and his feet were scars from the nails that he had witnessed or had experienced. The nails that had gone through his wrists and gone through his ankle to hang him up on the cross. Jesus was nailed on the cross a few days before that. And he says, guys, your doubt is okay. It's okay to doubt. I get it. But let me show you my scars. Let me talk to you. Let me help you through your doubt. Look, I've always kind of thought it was weird that Jesus had scars. Why did Jesus have scars? I mean, look, think about this. If Jesus can rise from the grave, that's a big deal, okay? If he can rise from the grave, he for sure could heal those scars completely, to where they're completely gone. Why did Jesus not come back in this perfect, glorious, awesome body? Why did he come back in his broken body and say, look at my scars, look what I went through? Why did he do that? Well, I think Jesus kept his scars to send a message. To send a message to his disciples and to send a message to us today. Now, there's a lot of things that Jesus, I believe, is saying through his scars. One of them is he's answering our doubts. I'm not sure about this. Jesus says, let me prove it to you. Let me show you. But also Jesus, I believe, he showed his scars to proclaim his victory. You see, when he had died, everybody thought it was over. Death always wins. In this life, death always wins. And Jesus says, no, I've actually defeated death. He defeated death in his own life and rose from the grave. But also, even more importantly, Jesus defeated death for you and me. You know why we get death? We get death because that's the penalty for sin. And Jesus says, I've conquered that for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says this. Says that you and I, we should thank God. We should be incredibly happy and thankful to God. Why? Because he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory that you and I, we're trying to get throughout our lives. We're trying to be good enough. We're trying to do the right things. We're trying to earn our victory, and we're never going to do that. There's no way that you and I can earn our salvation. Jesus says, look, I'm going to do it for you. And he shows you the scars. He says, look, I died, but death did not defeat me. And so you and I can have victory knowing that when we die someday physically, if we are believers in Jesus, we will be in heaven with him, where death has no victory over us. And that's something to praise God about. And he shows us the scars to prove that and show that. But you know what? I believe that God also, that Jesus also, he shows us the scars to do one other thing, which is to prove his purpose, why he came. How many guys like dogs more than cats? Anybody? That should be everybody. Everybody should raise their hands right now. That's the answer, just letting you know. I love dogs. I love dogs, man. And I watched this movie recently called A Dog's Purpose. Have y'all ever seen that movie? Man, this movie, it's this story of this, it's like from the dog's perspective, and he's living one life, and then he gets old and is sad, and he dies, and then he kind of comes back again, and he has the same memories, living with this, another family, he's another kind of dog, and it goes over and over again. And guys, it's just awful. It's just terrible. I hate seeing dogs die. Like, it reminds me of my dogs. I'm over there crying like a baby on the couch. Why am I doing that? Because, man, I love animals, but I love that movie because it says this is the purpose for that dog, to love that family. I want you to think about Jesus. You see, Jesus, he didn't come to be a killjoy. He didn't come to this earth to say, hey, here are all the rules, have no fun. But a lot of people think that's what he is. Did you know that living a life for Jesus is actually more joyful than anything that you can experience in this life? Jesus didn't come to be a killjoy. He didn't come to be a religious guru and create this following and try to create this movement. That's not what he did. He didn't come to be just a good guy, a moral example for us to look back on and say, I want to live my life like him. That's not the real reason why Jesus came. Jesus' purpose for coming and for dying for you was the sacrifice for you. Don't ever forget that. If you wanted to narrow down why Jesus came to this earth, it was to be a sacrifice for you. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus is talking about himself, and he says this to his followers, for even the Son of Man, that's what he calls himself, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, the king of this universe, the creator of all things, God himself, he comes down to be a man. There's no other person in all of human history who had the right to sit on the throne and everybody worship him and serve him. He says, no, that's not why I have come. Instead, I've come to serve you and ultimately to serve you by being a sacrifice for you. You see, Jesus, he kept his scars to show his love for you. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning, but I believe there's some people in this room that you're like, why am I even here? It's raining outside. Why did I even show up? My hair's all wet. I don't have that problem, but you do. And you're like, why am I even here? And you need to hear this. God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what your thoughts are towards him, he loves you. He loves you, and he's showing you his scars this morning. And what he's saying is a couple things. One, that you're not alone. You're not alone. In the middle of your pain, in the middle of your suffering, in the middle of your relationship falling apart, in the middle of the struggle that you find yourself in, everybody's going through stuff, guys. Jesus is saying, look, I went through those things as well. I was betrayed. I was abandoned. I had people that falsely accused me. I even had church hurt. Guys, we all experience church hurt because the church is full of sinful people, right? And Jesus says, hey, I've gone through that as well. I know how you feel. Look, you're not alone. Jesus is also saying this morning, look, that everyone's been broken. You don't have to hide from that. You don't have to be ashamed of that. Jesus showed his scars. Being crucified was not a glorious thing. It's not something you wanted to go and brag about. Jesus says, look, I've been broken too. It's going to be okay. I know how you feel. But ultimately, I believe Jesus is saying this morning that he's made a way. He has made a way for you to be healed. God can heal the wounds that are in your life. Whether that's an emotional wound, spiritual wound, psychological wound, when you've been hurt and that's still an open wound, he can heal you if you ask him, if you trust him. He can do it. But also, he's made a way for you to be forgiven of your sins. But you know what? You got to ask him for that. You got to accept that. That's the message for today that God, I believe, is giving every single one of us by showing his scars. That's a pretty crazy moment. Can you imagine being there as one of the disciples? Like, that's just a crazy moment. Have any of y'all met a famous person? Like not like follow someone on social media that's famous or hear about them, but actually next to them. Not even gone to like a concert or something, but you actually got to talk to a famous person. About 20 years ago, I was waiting tables in college, and in walks Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris, right? Walker, Texas Ranger, okay? I'm like, woo, look at this guy. Guys, I completely abandoned my tables. I don't even know what happened. I left them. I didn't care anymore because I was like, I'm going to go meet Chuck Norris. He goes and sits down on the other side of the restaurant, and I just got up the courage, and I walked over there, and I met him and his wife, and I spent about 5 minutes just talking to them one-on-one. It was one of the crazy experiences ever. It was awesome. I almost got fired, but I didn't. It's okay. But can you imagine even more seeing Jesus? All of a sudden, he shows up in that room. And you're one of the disciples, you knew Jesus. You've been walking with him for 3 years. You had heard what he had to say. You'd seen him heal people and change their lives. And then you also watched him die. And you went over there and took his dead body off of the cross. You wrapped it up and put it in a tomb. And you went into hiding, mourning, saying, "What has just happened? My life is ruined." And all of a sudden he shows up again. And not as a ghost, but as a real person. He says, "Touch the scars. Let me show you. Let me prove to you that it truly is me." Look, in that moment, no one's leaving in that moment, right? No one's getting up and be like, "Hey, I got stuff I got to do. I'm out of here." Or no one's checking their phone to check on the scores of the game. Like, no one's doing that. Every single one of us, we would be completely locked in and focused. And we would be leaning in and saying, "Jesus, what do you have for me in my life? I can't believe this is happening." Here's something that's crazy. This actually happens. Jesus gives them a word. And he says something to them. And I want us to read that and ask God, "Speak to me this morning." Here's what Jesus said in verse 44. The Bible says, then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said this, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day." Look, here's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, "Hey guys, you may not understand the whole purpose of all of this. You go back thousands of years, you got the Old Testament, and what Jesus is saying, he's saying all of that is like a giant arrow just pointing to me." That's what the Bible is all about. It's setting us up for Jesus to come and be the Savior of the world. You look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament is an incredible story that describes our sin. It describes our fall. And it describes our need for a rescue. Over and over again, the people, they messed up and they fell short of God's glory. And they were always waiting for hope that would come and change them and save them. And Jesus says, "Look, I'm here. I'm here." Hundreds of years before Jesus came to this earth, there's all these prophecies about him, even prophecies that said that the Messiah would die and that he would come back to life. And we celebrate Easter because it's fulfillment of those prophecies. And Jesus says, "Look, lean in. Let me tell you something. Let me explain everything to you. It's all about me. I have come and I'm here. And I died for you, but I'm not dead anymore." And then he says this. "It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." It says there is a message for all people, not just for the Jews, but for everybody. Thank God for that. The message is also for us. And what is that message? Jesus says this, that there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. If you're wondering what is the message that the world needs to hear and what is the message that you and I need to hear this morning, it is that there is forgiveness of sins for who? For all who repent. We call that the gospel. Or in other words, the good news that every single one of us in this room can never earn their way to heaven. You can't save yourself. No good thing can save you. No great intentions. No accumulation of wealth or fame or success. None of those things can save you. You need a Savior who is perfect, who died in your place. And Jesus says that is the message that the world needs to hear. And that's the message that we need to hear this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. This verse ends by saying this, that by Jesus' wounds, you are healed. It's the craziest thing. That's a crazy statement right there, that by his wounds, him taking your place, you can be healed. By his blood being spilled, you can be washed clean. By his wounds, you and I can be healed. But let me say this, it's only if you believe. It's not just something that is given to every single person. No, you got to believe. You got to say, this is my life, but I'm going to trust Jesus. You got to surrender to him. Let me ask this. Do you believe? Do you trust in Jesus? If not, why? What are you trusting instead? Trust in yourself? You trust in your abilities? Let me just say this. None of those things can save you. None of those things can make you right with the holy God. Only a perfect sacrifice. Only Jesus can do that. I don't know if there's anyone in this room or watching online right now who needs to hear that this morning. Maybe you would be someone that says, you know what, I want to truly know Jesus. I don't want just to know about him. I want to truly know him. I want to experience him like these disciples experienced him. As I see other Christians, as they are full of joy, what's different about them? I want to truly experience Jesus. I want to be saved. I wonder if that's you this morning. In fact, I want to give you a chance to do that here in just a minute. We're gonna pray in just a minute. And if the Holy Spirit's leading you, don't run away. Don't hide from that. He has you here for a reason. Maybe this is a chance for you to pray a simple prayer and ask God to forgive you of your sins. He'll change your life, I promise you. You know what, you might say, hey, Clayton, I'm just not there yet. Well, let me encourage you to do something. That's okay. Let me encourage you to do something. I want you to seek him out. Let me give you two specific ways you can do that. One of the ways you can do that is actually just to read through the Gospel of Luke. We've been in Luke today. Up on the screen, there's a little Bible app picture right there. Man, if you don't have a Bible, man, free download. You can even have it speak it to you if you don't want to read it. I want to encourage you to read through the Gospel of Luke and watch Jesus show up in your life. Listen to God's guidance in your life. He will change you, I promise you. This eyewitness testimony of Jesus and what he has done for you. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I love like watching YouTube videos and podcasts. Anybody else like that? I love that. I do it while I'm mowing the yard or doing whatever. Put my AirPods in. Like, I love that. And I listened to something like 2 days ago, and I usually don't like promote things on the stage, but this was awesome. This just blew me away. I want to encourage you to go on like YouTube or Spotify for free. You can watch this podcast, this video here on the Sean Ryan Show. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a podcaster, interviews people all the time. And he interviewed these two guys that are up on the screen. One's Lee Strobel and John Burke. And these guys are like pillars of the faith. They know the Bible big time. And they go for, it's like a couple hours, but it is incredible, of them explaining the resurrection and the history behind it and the accuracy of it and all of the evidence. Guys, I'm a Christian for a long time, and it blew me away. If you have doubts, go seek them out. There's a couple ways right there that you can go and do that. Look, Jesus, he is showing you his scars this morning. You're here for a reason. What he's saying by showing you his scars is that, look, forgiveness, it's not free, guys. You probably heard, hey, forgiveness is free. It's not. It cost him everything. It was so costly to Jesus. Yet he gives it to us at an incredible discount, okay? It costs him everything. But he says, I am offering this to you as a gift. What does it take for us to receive that gift? You know what it takes? It takes repentance and trust. Let me simplify that for you. What it means is you got to turn. You're going one way and you're going to turn and follow him. And say, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. Will you save me? I accept that free gift. I'm telling you guys, he will change your life. Every single one of us in this life is going to have to give a response to that. When Jesus says, will you trust me? What's your answer? Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? As your heads are bowed, I just want to ask you, do you need to pray that prayer right now? Do you need to trust in Jesus? He can change your life. And he can give you eternal life. Any of you tired of trying to earn it? Trying to be good enough? You'll never be good enough. Jesus says, come to me. All who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. I will change your life if you'll trust in me. If there's anybody today or anybody watching who'd like to trust in Jesus, let me lead you in a simple prayer. There's nothing magical about this prayer, but these words, if you believe them in your heart, confess them to God, the Bible says you will be saved. Would you pray this with me? God, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm tired of trying to be good enough. I'll never be good enough. My sin has separated me from a holy God. But I want to spend eternity with you in heaven someday. And so I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross in my place to pay for my sins. And I believe that he rose on Sunday, showing his power over sin and death for me. I see his scars, and I want to trust in him today. So God, please forgive me of my sins. Change me. And Lord, come into my life to be my Savior, my King. God, I pray for anyone who has made that prayer today, Lord, that you would just lift all their burdens off their shoulders, a spiritual burden they've been carrying for too long. I pray, God, you'd be real in their lives. I'm so thankful that you have called them to be here this morning to hear this message from you. Thank you for saving them. I pray they would tell somebody and celebrate with others what you've done in their life. Jesus, thank you for your scars. Without your sacrifice, we'd be nothing. You are holy, you are perfect, and you died for us. But Jesus, thank you for rising from the grave and conquering sin and death for us. You are alive, and we can worship you and live for you. Thank you for doing everything. We're not good enough, but you are. Help us to celebrate that this Easter. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, as we end today, I want to invite you to stand for just a moment. And we're going to have a song. And guys, this song is all about calling on the name of the Lord. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you just prayed that prayer. If you did, some of our pastors, myself, we'll be down here. We'd love for you to come and tell us. Let us come and celebrate with you. But man, let's take a moment right now and just call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy of our worship and who can save us from our sins. Let's do this right now. Thank you.
that can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. I call you Jesus. I call you healer. The key.
that. What a great opportunity to call on the powerful name of Jesus. As we are dismissed in just a moment, man, the invitation's still open. We have a prayer team in the back. They've got lanyards that say that. They're along the back wall. They love to pray with you. If you want to know more about Jesus, you want to speak to anybody, if you got something going on in your life, we'd love to come alongside you. You know, another way you can do that is just to take out your phone and that number 94,000. You can text the word forgiven, and it'll go right to our staff, and we'd love to begin a conversation with you. And there's nothing in this life more important than Jesus. He is the name that is above every name. And I hope that you've been blessed today. When you leave this place, don't forget, we got some candy for you, man. Let's go celebrate what Jesus has done. He is the risen Savior. It's Easter. Let's celebrate with our families. Well, here at Central, what we like to do at the end of each service is we like to say our purpose statement that reminds us what we're called to do when we leave this place. I want to invite you to say this with me, that here at Central, we exist to live for Christ, love people, and make disciples. Thank you guys for being here. See you next time.